Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for health news you can use. With us, the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz. Doctor, good morning. Let's talk first about a groundbreaking study on Alzheimer's. This gives people hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, good morning. And this was an interesting study that came out. Now, comes with a little caveat. This is a mouse-based study, so it's very preliminary. But what they were looking at is that there's a certain chemical in brain tissue called NAD+. We've known about this for a long time. But we know that, also know that with Alzheimer's, that level of the chemical declines. And there really wasn't a way to turn that around. And it may be linked to why, you know, the function of the cell is lost. But in this particular research, they found a protein that was not only able to stop the decline, but actually may have increased the chemical levels as well. And the mice did start to show some improvement. So it's very, very early. But if this takes us down the path, maybe there are similar agents or chemicals or proteins that can do that in humans.
So the hope would be someday that you could actually reverse the effects of Alzheimer's and your brain
possibly
could actually repair itself. Wow.
Possibly, yeah. So, I mean, even at this point, if we could slow it down, that would be a fantastic breakthrough. But if we could reverse that, that would be tremendous. But
yes,
that's probably still a ways away.
Let's talk about statins. It seems like most of the world is on statins, and there's a new analysis of the side effects, and this is good news for people taking those drugs, isn't it?
It is. It is. No, statins have been definitely shown to reduce cardiovascular and stroke disease considerably. A lot of my cardiology colleagues absolutely swear by it, and it's really been a game changer for a lot of people. The problem really has been tolerating the drug, and some people just don't tolerate as well, muscle aches, and so. But this study, what they really looked at is really trying to figure out what that number really is of people not tolerating it, and it turns out it's way smaller than they thought. Previously, people thought, 20-30% of people couldn't tolerate it, but it's probably less than 1% that people cannot tolerate that. So if you've had issues, talk to your doctor. It may be worthwhile trying again, or a different drug in the same family may be something to look at.
So will there be new guidelines? Will the list of side effects be changing then?
No, the list of side effects are what they are. It's more a matter of how impactful that is. So, if it's just a mild soreness, probably doesn't mean that much. You know, it could be not from the drug. It could be from a lot of other things, too. So it's really that conversation with the doctor about how well you're tolerating it.
What's the latest on that cholesterol-lowering pill? There was a major study on this. Will this be more effective than the drugs being taken now for high cholesterol?
Yeah. So currently, the statins are the, the go-to drug. They're very effective. They're oral. They're at this point, they're relatively very cheap as well. But there are another class of drugs that are coming out, and this one in particular is actually an oral form of that. So the other class is injectable, and that's really the downside, is that you have to take a shot every week or every 2 weeks. But those drugs are very, very effective in lowering your cholesterol and don't have those side effects of the muscle aches that the statins do. But in that class now, there is a drug called Amlitelltide that's coming out that's a pill form of that injectable. And that is showing very great promise in reducing your cholesterol. So if this can comes out, I think it's another option. Now, it's going to be considerably more expensive than the statins, though.
Mm-hmm. And is there a timetable for when this would be available?
I don't have that. It depends on the approvals and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking in the work, this one, we're definitely a lot closer to get to mm-hmm. the oral form.
Your Monday morning health briefs continuing now with the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz. So many people are on the weight loss drugs now. Doctor, what do the studies tell us, though, about what happens when you get off of Ozempic or Wegovy?
Yeah, I mean, drugs have definitely been a game changer when it comes to weight loss, especially people who have been struggling with that. And the results are quite remarkable. We've talked about some of the other effects on your program as well. But the one problem that they do have is when you do stop them, all that appetite starts to come back. And in this study, it actually showed that the craving for food goes up quite a bit and that people may actually gain weight faster than they lost it and then some. So it's really something you need to be mindful of, talk to your doctor about as well.
And are you supposed to stay on those drugs for life?
For, again, it depends on the reasons that you're on it. And I guess, and I think that's a discussion. Now, these drugs are used for diabetes. So in those cases, pretty much you're going to stay on it for life. Mm-hmm. Or change classes and, you know, and things. But if it's purely for weight loss, you have to keep some of this in mind about the weight gain and manage to that expectation there that the cravings for food and so on may come back. And how do we manage that? That's definitely more of a lifestyle discussion at that point.
Yeah, I know people haven't been taking these drugs for weight loss that long. So I guess there haven't been enough studies yet to answer the question, what about side effects as you take these drugs for years and years and years? We don't really know yet, do we?
We don't know for sure, but so far, you know, with the studies in the diabetics and stuff that's been going on for several years, they're surprisingly well tolerated. You know, early on, people can have some nausea, some, you know, constipation issues can be there. But once that settles down, they're surprisingly well tolerated compared to most other drugs.
Hmm. Good news. We have certainly heard through the years, you got to drink water, drink more water. And now there's some research about how good it is to start your day with a glass of water. What do we know about this?
Certainly. You know, especially we wake up, we're dry, mouths are dry. Starting the day, you know, I know we're in a rush trying to get the day started, but have that glass of water, a full glass of water is a good way to start the day. Just starts to hydrate you up, just kind of lubricates your insides and gets you ready for the day. And that just starts off because a lot of times we're busy and we may not have any breakfast till when we get into the office or even midday or do brunch. It's not a good idea to be dry that long, you know, to have some water at least to get started with the day.
So that's supposed to be actually good for your gut health? Is that it?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how much water? And I was reading something about this research, and it was different between men and women. What's the thinking on this now?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the muscle mass content differences between men and women. Women probably about 9 cups, not big water bottles, but 9 cups of water, which is a little less, per day is probably at least that go-to kind of number there. For men, probably closer to about 13 a day. Now, again, if you have underlying medical issues or so on, the number may be higher or lower. So, you know, if you're otherwise healthy, that's probably a reasonable intake per day.
I am a tea drinker, and I was happy to read about this new study, and it's good news for all of us tea lovers, isn't it?
Yeah, especially green tea. It always comes up again and again. A lot of research and a lot of studies done around that, you know. And in this particular one, it was really looking at lowering the risk of heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. So there does seem to be some correlation. It's not necessarily a preventive of that. Hey, if you're a tea drinker, you enjoy it, here's some added benefits to be happy about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, weight loss, diabetes, even Alzheimer's was mentioned in this study. But was this all teas? You know, I'm not a guy who likes to, you know, spend a lot of time brewing tea, so I get the bags. Was it? I know they kind of focused on green tea, but was it basically in any form?
Yeah, well, it mainly is the green teas or herbal teas in that kind of category there. I don't think that there was specifically an issue between, you know, fresh leaves and mm-hmm. the bag. I think what we really want to not do is the flavored, like, iced tea drinks that really may or may not really contain the good parts that we want there. So it's really staying with the teas there.
And finally, there was some interesting new research on how to live, and whenever you see the headline, how to live a longer, healthier life, you read the story. I certainly do. And this was all about actually improving your life by helping somebody else. Tell us about this.
Yeah. And this gets down to really that mindfulness and that sense of social connection, something we've talked about a lot. And as we get older, you know, that self-isolation, if there's isolation and loneliness, it does really impact our stress levels. So being able to interact with other people, you know, either volunteering time or participating in social activities does go a long way in improving your mental health, but also your medical health and physical health too. So it's really important. So in this particular article, it was about, hey, if something comes up, say yes. Say, hey, I'm going to do it, whether it's a hobby or, you know, some kind of social activity.
Yeah, seniors are volunteering at a higher rate than ever before, and that's good. And I guess that's because we are living longer, healthier lives, aren't we?
We are, and in a productive way. And a lot of us, you know, have come from being very active. And even if we're not working for the paycheck, we can still contribute quite a bit. And it may be in a similar role. It may be in a volunteer capacity or teaching. So there are other ways to do that and still contribute.
All right. Note to self, volunteer today and drink green tea. Got it.
Yes.
It's Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, doctor. Have a good one.
Thank you.